At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batsu, as my good colleague Dr. Henry Miller of the American Council on Science and Health writing at length again about H5N1, always a threat for these last decades that I've reported on threats from Asia. But this is not Asia, this is North America. And what is to be done is prevention, or pay attention if you're near farm animals. However, Henry, I also read that at some point there was a warning put out: do not drink raw milk. But I did not see it alarm bells from Washington the way you would think if this was actually a scary possibility. Is that something that people know about? Don't drink raw milk from the farm? Because some people pay premium for that, I think.
Well, they do, and they're foolish to do so. There's no nutritional advantage to it, and it's dangerous. It spreads. It can spread brucellosis and bovine tuberculosis, and contain other bacteria. It's why pasteurization was one of the great miracles of food processing. The pasteurization makes the contaminated milk, contaminated with avian flu virus, non-infectious because it degrades the viral RNA. So even if there are pieces of RNA present from an infected cow, they're non-infectious is the good news. But raw milk should be avoided in any case. Some states prohibit it. In my opinion, all should.
And California, you say the governor has been proactive on this. What's he done?
I don't know. I don't know what he's done. I haven't heard of anything.
I thought he was directing the herds to be culled.
I hadn't heard that, John.
I'm reading too many reports. Beg pardon, doctor. Is there anything that can be done? Avoid eating chicken, avoid eating ducks? Is that, cook it more? I'm looking for remedies that people can use at home.
Well, I think it's unrealistic to completely avoid certain things. People should certainly never touch or approach a dead animal, particularly wild birds, or for that matter, domestic birds. It's important to get a flu shot because even though it's not targeted at avian flu, it probably provides some cross protection. The other thing is, we're still in perhaps at the peak of the human flu season. And so it's wise to be protected from that in any case. Also, for people who work in animal husbandry with cattle or poultry, they should certainly be wearing personal protective equipment, such as gowns and masks. That's essential. That's at the individual level. At the government level, we should certainly be revving up production of vaccines for birds, domesticated birds, and cows, in order to be ready in case the epidemic spreads even further and more rapidly.
Back to the original anecdote that I mentioned, the 200 snow geese dead at Allentown in the Lehigh Valley. This is eastern Pennsylvania, heavily agricultural. Is that ordinary? Is that an alarm bell? Is that something we've been living with for years and I just happened to read about it?
It is an alarm bell because these birds, as you suggested, go past large poultry farms in places like Delaware and Maryland, where there have been outbreaks, increased outbreaks in just the past week. In the past week, in Delaware, Some 500,000 birds had to be culled. And overall, in the past months, nationwide, we've had to cull, that is, kill 130 million domesticated birds.
And we don't do this every year. This is unusual, coming in December of 24, now into 25.
This has not happened. And again, if you look at egg prices and chicken prices, you find that they are abnormal, as you describe it. They are much, much higher than I've ever seen.
Are the hospitals looking for it, Henry, if somebody comes in with a virus?
That's a very good question, John. And I suspect most of them do not have the capacity to test for it, but they certainly don't test for it. Most physicians or nurse practitioners, for that matter, who see someone with a respiratory disease, treat it symptomatically. Right. And that's why, as I said, the 66 cases of human avian flu infection in the U.S. are certainly a drastic undercount.
Henry Miller, physician and molecular biologist.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.